If you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, as we continue with the exposition of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, and I want to begin reading at verse 8, preach to you just for a few minutes. I'm just real tired in the body, if you'll pray for me. Last Sunday we talked about which righteousness do you have? The righteousness of the law, your own righteousness, or the righteousness of faith? And in verse 8, we actually continue with that thought, and the scripture says, but what saith it? Well, what is it? What's he talking about? He's talking about the righteousness which is of faith. What does the righteousness of faith say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Very familiar scripture. Blessed truth. What we have before us this morning is Paul's letter to the Romans under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And Paul is telling us how a man is saved. He's telling the Romans how God saves sinners. The righteousness of faith speaks on this wise. The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and even in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. Now, the righteousness of faith is the true gospel of God's grace, the glorious gospel of God's grace. Now, it says here, for with the heart, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The heart is your affections, your will, what makes you tick. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. There's no difference between the Jew or Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Blessed truth. The modern gospel, however, the fundamentalist, the Satan-backed gospel has perverted and twisted these blessed truths into mental agreement with fact. And a lot of people have heard this false gospel. Many religious people, sad to say it. You know, the saddest thing I know, I mean, it's bad for a man to go to hell anyhow. But to me, the saddest thing I know of is for a man to go to hell on church pew. And many, many have done it. they've turned these scriptures into a formula. They've turned it into steps for salvation. Mental agreement with fact. Mental agreement with fact. And they lead you down what they call the Romans Road. They call it the Romans Road to salvation. You believe that you're a sinner? Well, what fool don't? I mean, about anybody that believes that they've sinned, done wrong. Yeah. You believe Jesus died? Yes. And they lead them down this road and, you know, just pray the sinner's prayer and, you know, God wouldn't lie to you, would he? No. Let's call on the name of the Lord, because if you do, it says here, he'll save you. And they have the audacity to say that by the authority of God's word, I can tell you that you're saved. I wouldn't want to be that preacher at the judgment. Wouldn't want to be that preacher at the judgment. But you know, the scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 to examine ourselves. Examine yourself. To see whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Then the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1:10 tells us this. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now life's too short to be presumptuous about this. Life is short and eternity is long. Title of the message this morning is this. Do you have a head belief or a heart belief? Do you have a head belief or a heart belief? Did you save yourself or did God do it? Religion's directed to your minds, your deeds, your works. Salvation's the heart work. God works on the heart, in the heart. You know, giving mental assent to something, giving mental assent to facts is not salvation. What I want to do here just for a few minutes as I get into this message, I mean, here are some things that men give mental assent to, and things that I, even myself and you, have given mental assent to before God actually saved you. I mean, first of all, I don't ever remember a time in my life when I didn't believe that the Bible was God's Word. I mean, I can't ever remember a time that I didn't believe that up here. I believe that. Mama said this was God's Word. Grandma said this was God's Word. Grandpa said this was God's Word. And I'm thinking, must be right. If Mama says it and Grandpa says it and Grandpa says it, must be truth. And so, I mean, I believe that. I believe the Bible was the Word of God. I mean, didn't know anything about it. But I believed it up here. Well, that didn't save me. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I believe that up here. I've heard that. I've read that He was the Son of God. Didn't do anything for me. Didn't do a thing for me, but I believed it. I believed the Bible was God's Word. I believed that Christ was the Son of God. I even believed I was a sinner to some degree. I remember when I was a boy, my dad and I was walking up to the grocery store, little old small, what we would call a 7-Eleven now. Little old grocery store right there on Harlem Avenue, and we went in, and I remember the guy that ran the store, his name was Stosh, what we called him. And Dad was in there talking to him, and I seen the candy bar that I wanted, and I reached and grabbed it and walked up and just put it on the counter. I said, "Can I have that, Dad?" He said, "No, you don't need that. Your mother's fixing supper. It'll ruin your dinner." Made me madder than fire. And I thought, yeah, all right. So I just turned around, stuffed that candy bar right down in my pocket. Nobody seen me. So we start, Dad pays for what he had bought, and we start walking back to the house. And I reached and pulled that candy bar out of my pocket. He said, "Where'd you get that?" And I said, "From Stotch's store." He said, "I told you I wasn't paying for that." "Yeah, but I want it." And he came to a dead stop, cut them eyes at me, and he said, "We're going to walk right back to that store right now. And you're going to take that candy bar, and you're going to lay it on the counter, and you're going to tell Stosh what you did." I said, "I ain't doing it." He said, "Oh, yes, you are." See, I was a thief. A little thief, but I was a thief. And then I lied about it. I was a liar too. Everybody will admit that they're a sinner to some degree. Mental agreement. Yeah, I've not been perfect. I stole the watermelon, or I stole the cantaloupe. Everybody will give mental assent to that. I mean, and I believe that Christ died for sinners. Mentally, I agree. I believe that. I believe that. I believe why he did it. I mean, I've even read in the scriptures, and the scriptures are real plain. You don't have to have a DD or an LLD to understand this. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I believe that up here. It was very plain. It said that. Didn't mean anything to me. Meant nothing. Then, I mean, I believe that the Old Testament was where we read that it was a lot of things were types of Christ, like Noah's Ark. The Ark is a type of Christ. The Passover was a type of Christ. I believe all these things mentally. But never knew the Lord. I knew all this mentally. I believe Christ was born. I mean, when I was growing up, we celebrated Christmas. We celebrated Easter. We did all that, you know. I always believed that. You know, and I even understood why Christ had to die. You know, that we weren't perfect. Christ was. He is tempted in all points, like us, yet without sin. There had to be a perfect man to provide a perfect sacrifice. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. I get it. Meant nothing to me. I believe all this up here. Yeah, I believe Christ fulfilled the law for us. All that in your head. When the modern gospel talks these people down to the altar, and they read them and get them to go through the Romans Road, "You a sinner?" "Yeah." "You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" "Well, yeah." "You believe He died for the sins of the world?" "Yeah." "Well, I tell you what, God's got a wonderful plan for your life. If you believe this, and do you believe that Christ rose from the dead?" "Yes, sir. Believe that all my life." "Well, Scripture says, if you believe this with your heart, if you call on the Lord, He'll say, 'Let's call on the Lord.'" They'll get him down and they'll get him to pray. And then when they get through praying, they'll look at him and they'll say, "Well, well, what? Did the Lord save you?" "I don't know." "Did you call on Him?" "Yeah. Well, it says here, if you call on Him, He'll save you." "Did you call on Him?" "Yeah." "Well, did He save you?" "I don't know." Well, it says here, if you called on him, that he saved you. Of course you're saved. You didn't think God would lie to you, would you? Would God lie to you? No. Oh, no. God wouldn't lie to me. You see where I'm going with this? Mental agreement with fact. Mental agreement with fact. Again, the question has to be asked, do you have a head knowledge? Do you have a head belief, or do you have a heart faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me tell you this. There are going to be a lot of Calvinists in hell who believe the doctrines of grace in doctrine only and have never experienced the life-changing grace of God. They believe in doctrine. They got converted to a doctrine. Now, the doctrines of grace that are wrought in the heart. I mean, this is not something that you just morph into. I mean, you're not a free willer and all of a sudden you start reading the Bible and you say, yeah, okay, yeah, well, okay, I get it. I get it. Yeah, I get it. And you believe all these things in your head. I mean, because you believe in the total depravity of man doesn't mean you're saved. Because you believe that God elected the people for salvation, believing that fact alone doesn't save you. Amen? That's right. I mean, you say, preacher, I believe that God only died for the elect. I do too. But have you ever experienced that life-changing grace in your heart? Just believing that fact will not save you. It won't. You say, I believe in irresistible grace. I do too. But believing that fact doesn't save you. You say, preacher, I believe the saints will persevere to the end. So do I. But believe in that fact. I mean, you just don't morph into this. It is a heart work. It's a life-changing experience. It is. It is. Now, life's too short to be presumptuous about this. You better know. You better make your calling and election sure with God. You say, I know. I've heard people say, I know he knows the Lord. No, you don't. You can't see his heart. He may be as lost as a jackrabbit in high weeds. Just because he tithed. I mean, look at the Pharisees. They tithed. They gave alms. They were missionary minded. They compassed land and sea to make one proselyte. Jesus said, you make them twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. I mean, the Pharisees, they even believed that God was their father. They said, we'd not be born of fornication. God is our father. I mean, these people were zealous of the law. I mean, zealous, religious, as all get out. They defended the law. Remember the man that sat at there at Solomon's porch? He'd been there 38 years. 38 years. I mean, even the Pharisees knew that he was there. Jesus came and said, take up your bed and walk. A wonderful miracle that occurred. He gets up, grabs his bed, and starts walking. You know what the Pharisees said to him? What are you doing walking on Sabbath day? What are you doing carrying your bed on Sabbath day? Defenders of the law. I mean, the Pharisees, they were not only defenders of the law, they were the discipline committee. Now you talk about a strict discipline committee, that is it. I mean, if, remember the woman that was taken in adultery, brought her to the Lord and said, Moses said we ought to stone her. What do you say? I mean, they dotted every I and crossed every T, and they were depending on keeping the law to get them inside heaven's gates, but they didn't know God. Are folks like that today? They didn't know. Nicodemus spoke well of Christ. Remember Nicodemus? He even said, we know that you're a teacher come from God. Nobody can do what you're doing except God be with him. I mean, he even defended the Lord when they had the kangaroo court, when they were trying the Lord, and they said, does our law judge any man before it hears him? But he never did leave the Pharisees, did he? He's still a Pharisee. Pharisees reformed the outward man. I mean, they wore long robes, and I mean, they were just as clean on the outside as they could be. And Jesus said, you're whited sepulchers, you're full of dead men's bones and all hypocrisy. They were trusting in their own righteousness. You know, I think about these Pharisees, and you know what? I'll tell you something. Religious people will kill you. Now, they will. Remember when Jesus was riding on the donkey into Jerusalem? Remember what they did. Remember what the Jews did. They got all excited about the Messianic kingdom. Our king has come. They were shouting, Hosanna! Grabbed palms and laid them in his path. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know what they were saying 3 days later? Crucify him. Yeah. Crucify him. And, you know, the head belief. The Pharisees even experienced, religious people experienced sorrow over sin. Look at Simon Magus. He thought the gift of God should be bought with money. He said, Peter, he said, hey, give it. He said, here's money. Give me this money that on whosoever I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said, your heart's not right with God. Thy money perishes with you. You better pray, perhaps, that the thought of thine heart may be forgiven you. Simon said, pray for me, that none of these things come upon me. Look at Judas. He was the church treasurer. Now hold on to that. He was the church treasurer. Jesus said he was a devil from the beginning. He walked with the Lord. He walked with the disciples. But he did not know him personally. That's right. I mean, he even wept over the fact and was heartbroken over the fact that he had betrayed the Lord. He even took the 30 pieces of silver they gave him, brought it back, and said, here, I've betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? And Judas went out and hung himself. Yeah, they even experienced sorrow over sin. What about Ananias and Sapphira, religious people? They sold their property. And they thought, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make out like that we're really somebody. We're going to give what we want to give. We're going to keep some of it for ourselves. But we're going to make everybody else think that we gave everything. Look good in their eyes. You know what God did to that? Those two religious people. He killed them graveyard dead. That's right. Demas. Paul said, Demas, he was one that walked with Paul and went with Paul on missionary journeys. Even one place in the scriptures said, me and Demas salute you. And then later in one of the epistles, he says, Demas has left me. Loving this present world. Yeah. They perform works in the name of Christ. At the day of judgment, there's going to be written, and this is who that scripture in Matthew 7 is talking about. He's not talking about drunks and harlots and people that don't claim to be nothing. He's talking about religious people. They're going to say in that day of judgment, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. We've cast out devils. And he's going to say to them, depart from me. I never. Not I once knew you, but I never knew you. Now I don't know about you, but when I read scriptures like that, it kind of startles me, doesn't it, you? Kind of shakes me up a little bit, don't you? You say,
not me. I know I'm saved, not me. That doesn't bother me. Well, let me tell you something. If you know how sinful you are, and if you've really come face to face with the grips of the fact that in you, that is in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing, you're like Peter said, I want to be sure. I want to make my calling and election sure. I don't want to miss Christ, do you? I don't want to miss Christ, Hector. I want to be found in Him. Paul said, I want to be found in Him and know the power of His resurrection. Quickly, I want to give you four things that a religious profession cannot produce. I mean never, 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 never produce. Turn to Psalm 51, if you would. Psalm 51. A religious profession, a head belief, mental agreement with fact, will never produce a broken heart over your sin. It'll never do it. Look at Psalm 51. This is the Psalm of Repentance. Look at it. Psalm 51 verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from what? Mine iniquities. And cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Mental agreement with fact. It'll never produce a broken heart over sin. It'll never produce the guilt. It'll never produce the filthiness. It'll never produce the filthiness of mind, the filthiness of tongue, the filthiness of imagination, the filthiness of deeds. It won't do it! Everybody, oh yeah, I'm a sinner. Oh yeah. Sure, preacher, everybody sins. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being brokenhearted over your sins. You ever been there? Brokenhearted over your transgressions. Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the Lord, Isaiah 6, 5, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. What's the matter with you, Isaiah? What's got into you? What's wrong? He said, I've seen the King. I've seen the King. I'm undone. Job said, I've heard you before. Job 42. I've heard you before by the hearing of the ear. But now, mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself. I hate myself. You ever been there? Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. The publican, greatest illustration of how God saves sinners you can find, one of the greatest there is, stood afar off. He wasn't full of brass and bragging. He stood afar off. Wouldn't even look up to heaven. He was guilty. He smote his breast and said, God have mercy on me, the sinner. You ever been there? Religious head belief will not produce a broken heart for sin. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 51. David said, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done evil in this sight. Your sin is against God. Your sin is against God. Now, we can wrong other people, but our sin isn't against them. It's against God. You say, preacher, well, I don't understand. Whatever the sin may be, and if someone else is involved in it and you've wronged them, sure, you can apologize to them. I'm sorry. But your sin's not against them. It's against God. Sin is a transgression of God's law, not man's law. God's law. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Then when we look at this, a religious profession, I mean, it'll produce earthly sorrow. A lot of folks get sorry, are sorry because they get caught. And Paul said, the sorrow of this world worketh death, for godly sorrow works repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. If a thief gets caught, he's sorry. He didn't want to get caught. If a man's unfaithful to his wife, or if a wife's unfaithful to her husband, and they get caught, it produces earthly sorrow. But earthly sorrow won't lead you to repentance. True repentance. It won't lead you to true repentance. I mean, how many times a man that gets drunk, goes home and gets drunk, and his wife decides, I'm packing me and the baby up and I'm getting out of here, and he'll dig and he'll plead and he'll say, I'll never drink another drop. And then 2 weeks later, he's right back there again. Falling on the porch, drunk. You see, the sorrow of this world doesn't bring men to repentance. True repentance, true godly sorrow is what brings godly sorrow. Your sin's against God. It's against God. Then, not only can a false profession never produce a broken heart for sin, a false profession will never acknowledge that there's no goodness or no righteousness within them. Never, 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 never. Look here in verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. In other words, godly sorrow, you agree with God. God, you're right. You're right. Romans 3:19, it talks about, that's the end of what Paul said, there's none righteous, no, not one, none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Verse 19 says, we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth be stopped. You quit arguing with God. You quit saying, I'm better than he is. If she's going to heaven, I'm going too. When you see your sins against God and your filthiness has been revealed to you, you're going to shut your mouth then. And you're going to agree with God. It'll never, 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 never. I mean, we love ourselves. We love to promote ourselves. We love to talk about ourselves. I this, I that. Remember the Pharisee in the parable of the Pharisee of the publican? Lord, I thank thee that I am not an extortioner. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. And I am not like this publican. Never see themselves for what they really are. They think they're better than anybody else. Never seen themselves for what they are. All our righteousnesses, as I said, all of them are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf. In salvation, Christ gets the glory, not you. Then third, they never bow totally to the sovereignty of God in salvation. They just won't do it. They just won't do it. They got to have some kind of part in it. There's got to be something they can claim. There's got to be something they can say, I did it! I did it! When you hear somebody get up and say, when I accepted God, or when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, let me tell you something now, you hold it. You're hearing somebody that has never seen what they really are. They don't know anything about salvation. Nothing. Are you kidding? It would be easier for you to create a world than it would be for you to accept God. You accepted the King of Glory? Are you kidding me? Are you putting me on? You? Little old finite, wicked, rebellious, you accepted God? No, my friend, no. They'll never bow to it. They've got to claim something. Got to claim something. Salvation's all of the Lord. God is sovereign in its origin. Before the foundation of the world, God chose a people for himself. Not based on foreseen faith, not on good works. God, as it pleased him, chose a people for himself. Jacob, have I loved thee? Esau, have I hated? You say, preacher, is it that simple? Well, that's what the scripture says. That's what the scripture says. Well, let God be true and every man a liar, right? That's what the scripture says. God's sovereign in salvation in its origin and in its execution. The Lord Jesus Christ came down here and came down here for a purpose. The Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. He came to redeem a people. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. He paid the ransom for us. He fulfilled the law for us. He died for us, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Salvation is all of God in its origin and its execution and in its application. The Holy Spirit brings God's elect to Christ through the preaching of the gospel. That's right. It's all of God. Everything. Everything. I wasn't looking for God. He's looking for me. I didn't desire God, but he desired me. Oh, blessed day indeed when a man's confronted with Christ and the truth. They'll never bow totally to the sovereignty of God in salvation, in its origin, in its execution, its application, and in its sustaining. Preacher, I believe I've got to hold out. I believe I've got to hold out. I got to endure to the end or I won't be saved. Well, how are you going to do that? Say, well, I'll just, you know, do the best I can, you know, I'll just, you know, try to live above sin. If I can do it, good luck. Why, you couldn't no more keep yourself than you could save yourself. Why, if the Lord withdrew His keeping power from me for one second, I'd be ruined. So would you. It's all of God. I mean, He's in sustaining. We're kept by the power of God, Peter said, through faith unto salvation. And then salvation's all of God in its ultimate perfection. One day we'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And then lastly, a religious profession will never produce a broken heart for sin. A religious profession will never show them how guilty they are before God. A religious profession will never acknowledge the sovereignty of God in salvation. And then last, they'll never receive Christ alone as their wisdom. I'll figure it out for myself. I'll do whatever I want to do. No man knows God except in Christ. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me. Draw him. Let me end with this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are we made in Christ Jesus. Wisdom. Righteousness. Sanctification and redemption. As it is written, let him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now I tell you, as I said twice before, life's too short to be presumptuous. You better make your calling and election sure. Examine yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith. Eternity's too long. Eternity is a long time. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word warns us to make our calling and election sure. That Your Word warns us of the coming judgment. That Your Word warns us that salvation is all of You. All of You. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would take the message home today to heart. Lord, I pray Your will to be done. We ask this in Christ's name for His sake. Amen. You're at liberty to go. God bless you.